It's been a joy to be here many times, not necessarily speaking to you folks, but many times back in the corner back there praying with Pastor Nick and other pastors. This kind of feels like home. I've had the privilege of preaching here a couple of times in 2014 on Christ is all, and 2015 on Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I kind of have a pattern, don't I? I'm going to talk about Jesus again. Hallelujah. I can't wait. In fact, and I hate to admit this, but since I've been up since about 2:30 this morning, I just could not get back to sleep. I kept talking about what if I say this today, and praying that I would say the right thing, and praying that the Lord would use my few words to encourage you that Jesus Christ is awesome. He is beautiful. He's powerful. He's wonderful, just like we sang about earlier. Well, I said earlier that I'm going to talk about show me your glory. Show me your glory, at least as far as I'm going to be talking about, came from a conversation that Moses and Jehovah God had in Exodus 33. And you have that reference in your bulletin today. And God was asking in Exodus 33:18, or Moses was asking for God to show His glory, or to show all of Himself to the people of Israel and to Moses as He took them to the Promised Land. The Holy Spirit, when I read that passage, probably the first part of last year, I was going through the Bible to find out all the ways that Jesus Christ fulfills all of the Old and the New Testaments. And when I came to Exodus 33:18, something just happened in my spirit. I knew that was something for me and for other people that I would talk to about the greatness of Christ. So I started to say, Lord, what does that mean? And He took me back from Exodus 33 to the beginning of Exodus. And if you'll think back on the early chapters of Exodus, it talks about how God freed the people from the bondage in Egypt. He took them across the Red Sea. He provided for them through manna and quail. He opened up the rock and provided water. He protected them. For the couple of months before you get to Exodus 33, God was doing a whole lot for them, wasn't He? He was providing for them. He was showing them His glory. He was showing them all that He is over and over and over. So by the time you get to chapter 33 and this conversation between God and Moses, God had already been showing them lots of who He is and His glory. Okay, Exodus 33, the people of Israel are camped at Mount Sinai. And God says, okay, Moses, it's time for you to go the rest of the way to the Promised Land, but I'm not going to go with you. Why would He do that? Because He said that the people of Israel were stiff-necked or they were disobedient, and He would destroy them because of His holiness if He went with them. And Moses said, wait a minute, God, we can't go any further without You. We have got to have Your presence. We've got to have who You are, Your power, all the things You've already been showing us. We've got to have Your glory. And besides, God, it's Your idea to take us there. Come on, You got to go with us. And then as Exodus 33 progressed, I went to page 3 instead of page 2. That would really mess us up, wouldn't it? God decided that since He was pleased with Moses, since Moses had a good heart and obeyed God, that actually God's presence would go with the people the rest of the way, that He would take care of them. Okay, after God said His presence would go with Moses and the people, Moses kind of got his courage up and said in verse 18 of Exodus, we have got to have the fullness of all that You are. Please, show us Your glory. As You take us, as You lead us, show us more and more and more of Yourself. All that we need, show us Your glory. Moses was, that's kind of like manifest Your glory, or pour out Your glory, or demonstrate Your glory. And God responded in verse 19 that He would show His glory. He would cause His goodness to pass in front of Moses in the cleft of the rock. And He would have mercy and compassion according to on all the people he wanted to as he led them to the promised land. Well, that's exactly what Moses had been asking him when he said, Lord, now show me or show us your glory. I was not there. I'm a little bit older, but I was not there at that point. But I can imagine how confident now Moses was to lead the people the rest of the way to the promised land and into the promised land when God said he would show or demonstrate his glory, not only to the people of Israel, but to the nation, the other nations around them as he took them there. And I've been thinking a whole lot about this, but that's the same kind of relationship that we want or that God wants us to have with himself. That intimate, first love relationship with God. And he wants us, and he wants to show his glory to us right now. He wants to show his glory to the rest of the church, and in fact, all people in the world in Christ through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He wants to show himself. He wants to show his love, his mercy, his grace, his power, all of who he is. And that leads me to the second verse in your program today, which is 2 Corinthians 4, actually 4 and 6. I'm going to read that. This is one of my favorite verses. I love this passage. Not the first part of it, but the last part of it. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Then we go to verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, what? In the face or in the person of Christ. So unbelievers can't understand the glory of Christ or who he is. But believers, I'm assuming that's most of us, know that Christ is actually the image of God. Christ is exactly who God the Father is. So all of God's glory is in the face or in the person of Christ. Christ's glory fills the Old and the New Testament. Christ's glory fills the world around us. And the knowledge of the glory, or the light of his glory, praise God, shines in our hearts. I love that picture. The light, the knowledge of the glory of God shines in the hearts of his people. So for the rest of this message, I'm going to share about Christ's unlimited glory. All that he is. And I'm also going to share about us living in that glory of Christ, or in all of who Christ is, moment by moment. Then at the end, I think this is the most important part. We're actually going to pray, Jesus, we're already living in some of your glory, a lot of your glory. We want even more of your glory, more of your presence, more of who you are. So we're going to pray that at the end. One of the names of Christ, and by the way, I don't know if you know, but I wrote a book. Jenny helped me. I wrote a book, 365 Names of Christ. I want to know more of Christ. And one of the names of Christ that I just love to think about is him as the Lord of glory. He's a master of glory, the ruler of glory, the king of glory. In fact, Jesus is all glory. All glory and honor to Jesus. And we don't have to do that all by ourselves. We don't have to live in God's glory or Jesus' glory all by ourselves. The Holy Spirit helps us. This is a great verse. In John 16, 14 and 15, Jesus said that the Spirit would bring glory to Jesus by helping his disciples know all that Jesus is. Isn't that a great thing? That Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, helps us to know more and more of who Jesus is, and that brings him glory. I'm hoping, and I've been praying, in fact, part of the reason I was awake during the middle of the night is I was just praying that the Holy Spirit would help us to know more of who Jesus is today and bring glory to God through that process. In my message with the Filipino leaders this past March, I spent about an hour just in the next part of what I'm going to do, talking about who Christ is from all eternity past, who he was when he created the heavens and the earth, who he was at his before his birth and during his birth, and all of his ministry and his death and his resurrection and his ascension and who he is sitting at the right hand of the Father and who he will be in all of his glory forever and ever. Well, that's a lot of glory, isn't it? You probably don't know, but I don't have an hour to do that this morning. So I'm just going to use kind of some of the highlights all the way from his who he always has been from all eternity past through eternity future. Some of them have the word glory in them, and some of them absolutely just talk about his greatness. So this is hopefully a reminder to all of us about how great is the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. John 17:5. The Son has always had the full glory of the Godhead. Jesus said, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." That's awesome. Jesus has always had all the glory that he has now and will ever have. Then came creation. John 1:3 says, "Through him, through the Son, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." So from the smallest particle of the atom, Jesus created that. He put all of the glory of the Godhead into the smallest particle, into all the farthest reaches of the galaxies. Jesus created that out of the glory of the Godhead. All things were created by the Son, through the Son, for the Son. After creation, the Old Testament tells us all that God wants to know about himself, which is ultimately fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought that I ought to talk about maybe three passages in the Old Testament that clearly focus on who Christ is. One of my favorite, and I know you folks know it, is Psalm 23. So let me read this, and while I read this, just think about how the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills this. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Christ is our shepherd, isn't he? Amen. You can say amen once in a while. You can just jump up and down, whatever you want. Hallelujah. Oh, here's an awesome passage. Psalm 24, verses 7 and 8. Imagine this with Jesus ascending from the earth right up to heaven's gates, and somebody, maybe some angel, said, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is that King? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory, the one who is mighty in battle. The last of the Old Testament passages is Isaiah 52. It foretold God's eternal plan to redeem the world through his Son. And I'm just going to read little snippets of that. "My servant would be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. He was despised and rejected by mankind. He took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfills that. Hallelujah. He is the Savior. He is our Savior. Everything, after everything had been promised and prophesied in the Old Testament times, then the Father sent the one that had been prophesied about. By the way, do you know that all of the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? All the promises in the Old and the New Testaments, I think there's about 700 of them, are yes in Christ. That wasn't in my notes. That was, you got a little bonus there. Whoops. Time is running out. Here we go. After the Old Testament and before Jesus was born, there was a couple of visitations by an angel to his prospective mother and father. In Luke 1, 32 and 33, an angel told Mary that her son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Hallelujah. His glory will never end. Praise God. And then in Matthew 1:21-23, a similar situation happened with an angel and Joseph. He said to name the baby Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins, and that he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God with us. Then here's the scene in John 1:14-18. Sorry, Kim, I'm forgetting to say some things, so you can put them up there. I get so excited about this, I sort of forget what I'm doing. John 1:14-18. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. Do you think there's going to be a video in heaven of some of these circumstances? I hope there's a video of the next one. The amazing announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And this is in Luke 2:9-14. The glory of the Lord shone around them. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." So Jesus was prophesied in glory. He was born in glory, and He was announced in glory. Is He the Lord of glory or what? And then every part of His earthly life was filled with His glory too. Here's a cool scene. It's talked about in Matthew 3:16-17. It's Jesus' baptism, and when He came out of the water, what happened? As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. Heaven was opened, and John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is My Son. This is My boy." They get touched a little bit sometimes. "Whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." Another evidence of God's glory. He was appointed and anointed to fulfill the plans for mankind by the whole Godhead, by the Father and the Spirit. During His 3 years of ministry, many people were amazed with His teachings. Remember the times that it says they were amazed or astonished with His teachings and His miracles? Matthew 4:23-24 gives a wonderful summary of what He did. He went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Him spread all over Syria, and people brought to Him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and He healed them all. I wish I could read some of those times of His healing and His miracles. But I'm going to read one of them. the first miracle. Remember in John 2:11 when his mom talked him into turning water into wine? It says that it revealed his glory and his disciples put their faith in him. When Jesus' glory is revealed, people have to respond in one way or the other. One of my favorite scenes that talks about the greatness, the majesty of Jesus is in Matthew 16, and I didn't write down the verses, so you'll have to figure that out yourself, Kim. Remember, the disciples who had been with Jesus for a couple of years by now, I think they're finally starting to understand who he was. And remember that Jesus said, well, who do the people say that I am? And somebody said, well, some are saying that you're John the Baptist coming back from the dead, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he said, but who do you say that I am? And I can just imagine Peter, the wild and crazy one, jumping up and say, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you finally got it, Peter. You finally got it, guys. Jesus replied that he would build his church on that solid rock truth, that he is nothing less than the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he said that the gates of Hades, or all of hell, all of the demons of the enemy, would not overcome it. I've been thinking that may we and all of God's people at this hour in history absolutely be convinced and live by the truth that Jesus is our rock, our hope, our life. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. The glory of the Lord. Also, then the next scene that I have is his transfiguration. I'm going to read the 2 Peter 1, 16 and 17 version of that. Peter says that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from, and this is what the Father was called, the majestic glory, saying again, this is my Son, with whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Everything Jesus did was in his glory, for his glory, and for the Father's glory. He was consistent for his glory, for the Father's glory. The conversation that Jesus had in John 11:4 with Lazarus' sister Martha, that also was filled with the glory of Jesus. He said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. By the way, remember that all these things I'm reading about who Jesus is, and especially the focus on his glory, is at the end we're going to say, Jesus, in my life, the one who is the Lord of glory, show more of your glory. Now we come to the triumphal entry into Jerusalem of Jesus and his followers in Luke 19:37 and 38. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and what? Glory to God in the highest, or glory in the highest. Another evidence of that is when Jesus had just been in the upper room with his disciples and he was talking to his Father in John 17, 1 to 4. This must have been an amazing scene. Oh man. He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He had done it. Hallelujah. It was coming to a conclusion. Well, then he was arrested, wasn't he? And he confessed to the high priest that he was nothing less than the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he confessed to Peter that he was born to be a king. Glory to King Jesus. Remember the plaque over his head? What did it say? Not that this guy thinks he's some kind of a king, but this is the King of the Jews. All glory to the King. As he hung on the cross, one of the declarations that he made in John 19:30 was, anybody remember this? It is finished. It is finished. Boy, was his glory showing then. Some women went to the tomb on the third day after his burial in Matthew 28:5-6. An angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just like he said he would." That's a time when he was crowned in his glory. And here's another one of my favorite passages. What Peter said about the resurrection in Acts 2:24. I can hardly wait to read this one. "God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Would we expect anything less than the King of Glory? That it was impossible for death to hold him? Impossible. Then I have a lot of favorite passages, by the way. So here's my real favorite passage. You don't believe that, do you? Okay. Maybe I'll have another one later. Colossians 1, I forget exactly where, somewhere about 15 to 18, or maybe 15 to 20. This talks about the ascended Christ. Oh boy. "He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." He is the supreme one, the supreme King of Glory. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on the cross, is reconciling everything to himself. Listen to this next one, it goes along with it. Ephesians 1, and I didn't write the part of this down either. But just listen to this one. "For far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the age to come, and God placed all things under his feet, like Psalm 110 said it would happen, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Right now, he is filling the whole universe with his power, with his glory, with his love, all of who himself is. I'm going to conclude this part of my message with a couple of passages from the book of Revelation. By the way, this is not my final closing. I'm just concluding this part of it, so don't get your hopes up. Remember the Apostle John, who knew Jesus very well? In fact, he called himself the one who Jesus loves, or the beloved one. When he met Jesus in Revelation 1:12-18, he had a far enhanced understanding of who the ascended Christ is. Christ was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and he said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Then in Revelation 5, the continuous praise of the Lamb by all of creation. I love this passage. And I kind of took little parts that I wanted to out of this one. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They sang a new song. This is our song, folks. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then 100 million angels encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea sang, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures and all the folks in Foster Tukwila Presbyterian Church said, "Amen."
Amen.
And all the elders and all of us fell down and worshiped. Wow, what do we have to look forward to with the King of Glory forever and ever? When I was talking to the folks in the Philippines after we got finished with that, we sang some choruses. We sang "Holy, Holy, Holy." We sang "Majesty." "He is Lord." And the chorus of "Come, let us adore Him," which you can go into. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll praise His name forever. We just had a time of praise. Then we read something, a long thing called a tribute by this guy called David Bryant, which gives tribute to Christ for all He is. Then we read an awesome doxology. Sometime, if you ever have me back, ask me to bring something called the doxology that Charles Spurgeon wrote for his people the first Sunday in 1862. That's called "To Him, Jesus, Be Glory." Maybe I'll send it to you or something and let you read it before then. It's just too good to wait till I come back. It was such a joy, just like we started out worshiping the Lord. Isn't it a joy to worship Jesus for all that He is? The next part of this, and it's not going to be a very long part, is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is the Lord of glory. And we have the privilege of living in His glory. Remember the passage that Paul said in Acts 17:28, "In Him we live and move and have our being." There's another passage in John 17:22 that says Jesus has given us the glory the Father gave Him, that we might be one as they are one. So we have the opportunity to live in who Christ is. Oh boy, I was going to say one of my favorite passages. Do I get a little pass on this? This is so good. It's got to be one of your favorite passages too. And this talks about the fullness of Christ. In John 10:10, Jesus had just talked about that He was the door or the gate. And then it says the thief, the enemy, comes to steal and kill and destroy. But then what did He say? "I have come that they might have life and life to the full." So what we live in when we live in all of Jesus is we live in His fullness. We live in His abundance. And so when I was talking to the people in the Philippines, I chose 16 of the ways that we live in the fullness of Christ or in His glory. And there's probably hundreds of ways that we live in His fullness or live in His glory already. But we live in His likeness. We are like Him. Does that make sense? We live in His sonship. We are co-heirs with Him. We live in His victories. We live in His eternal life. We live in His promises, like I mentioned earlier. We live in His freedom. We live in His endless love. We live in His humility. We live in the vast, unending riches and hope in Jesus. We live in His righteousness and grace. We live in His peace, that peace that passes all understanding. We live in the mind of Christ and the fruitfulness. You know, He's the vine, we're the branches. We live in His priestly intercession, according to Hebrews. We live in His home. We are home with Jesus. And we live in His reign. Christ rules and reigns over everything. In fact, there's something, and I wish I could walk through some of these with you. There's two pages of celebrating the glories of Christ. There's 14 different paragraphs that the same David Bryant wrote. And I'm going to read one of them just to talk about Christ's sovereignty, just as one example as to the way that we live in His sovereignty or in His reign. This one says, not only does the Lord Jesus sit at the Father's right hand, He is the Father's right hand. He is the only one by whom God is establishing right now order in the midst of chaos, justice in the midst of oppression, righteousness in the midst of rebellion, healing in the midst of suffering, restoration in the midst of disintegration, peace in the midst of conflict, love in the midst of hate, day after day, in a million lives, in a million ways, in a million places, as God's mighty right arm, Christ has been given all the resources of heaven so that He will reign now and forever. We live in His reign with Him. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of glory. Okay, this is the last part of the message today, the very last part. And we're going to sort of practice what I've been preaching. We're going to take an action step of actually saying, Jesus, in prayer, show me, show us more and more of Your glory. We're going to say, again, Jesus, when Moses said, show me Your glory, he was saying, pour out Yourself, manifest Yourself. I've been doing the saying, show me Your glory, 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 times a day for the last year and a half. It's so cool. I can just say, Jesus, show me Your glory. And I don't have to say, show me Your glory, or like Your love or Your power or Your healing. He knows all of that. And He is all of that. I can just say, Jesus, show me what You know that I need right now. Show me the part of Your matchless, wonderful, exalted self that I need right now. Maybe it's cleansing. Maybe I need His love. Does that make sense? We're going to do that. Would you, right now, for the next 30 seconds, close your eyes and say, Jesus, show me the part of Yourself that I need right now. Show me even more of Your glory. Since we don't have a lot of time, would you now do that same thing for the people in your families? Your spouses or children or grandchildren or grandparents or parents. Just he knows all. Just say, Jesus, however You want to do, however my family members need this, show more of Yourself, manifest more of Yourself, pour out more of Yourself in their lives. When you go home and you have more time, you could spend a lot more time doing this. But right now, for the next 30 seconds, say, Jesus, in my family, show Your glory. Show more of Your glory. Now would you pray, Jesus, show more of your glory, more of who you are in this church, in every person in this church. No matter who they are, a visitor, somebody who's been here for 30 years, somebody who needs a whole lot of stuff, maybe somebody who's in pretty good shape right now. Lord, you know exactly what every person in this congregation needs. Show your glory right now. More of your glory. Now would you do the same thing for the people in your neighborhood, your workplace, place that the Lord sort of appoints you day by day. Jesus, show your glory in my neighbors. First people across the street, people beside me, people that I like, the people I don't know so well. Show your glory in my workplace. Guy that's across the street, across the hall from me. Person that's kind of frustrating. Person I report to, whoever it might be, whoever he brings into your mind, whoever the Holy Spirit brings into your mind, Jesus, show your glory in my neighbors and the people I work with or go to school with or whatever. And the last one for right now is, Jesus, show your glory for everyone you bring into my sphere of influence today. Whether it's somebody on television, somebody I drive by on the freeway, somebody in the restaurant I sit beside, somebody on the bus, a leader that I read about, a football player or Mariners or something on television, that whoever the Holy Spirit gives you kind of a inspiration to pay attention to. Jesus, show your glory in every person that you bring into my life. Every person the Holy Spirit brings into my life. Show your glory in all these people, however they need it, according to your perfect will for them. I'm going to give you a challenge about this in my benediction today, but for right now, could we sing, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever"? Do you know that? Could you lead us? Oh, okay. I do. I'll do it. No sweat. I can never get the pitch right, so that's, you just have to go along with me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Sort of carrying on that, show me your glory. I don't like to just talk about things and not do them, not live them out. And I mentioned that I've been praying, Jesus, sorry, for the last year and a half, just on a growing basis, to the point that I'm not perfect, that's for sure. But when many, many times a day, when the Holy Spirit brings someone into my mind, sort of pricks my mind, all the way from myself, who needs it mostly, to my family members, all the way to the ends of the earth. I just say, Jesus, show yourself, show your glory. And I feel like I am so participating with Him in whatever He wants to do with whomever He gives me a burden for in my spirit. And, you know, it can be an individual, somebody I like or don't like. It can be somebody that in a medic unit, when I hear a siren, I always do that. When I drive into, go into a restaurant, when I watch television or anything. I guess I would encourage you, and there's no magic formula. I don't like magic formulas when I'm trying to pray, but I think the spirit of this is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. I would encourage you, maybe for the next week, from now till next Sunday, try to remember when the Holy Spirit brings anybody into your remembrance or your interest. Just say, Jesus, however you want to do it, show your glory in their lives. It has been really encouraging for me, and I trust it will be for you too. And I just feel like I'm a part of the advancement of His kingdom. How about if I close in prayer? Okay. Do you do that here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I knew you did. Jesus, I am so glad. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm so glad that we have the privilege of, because of Christ's sacrifice, being your sons and daughters and co-heirs and all of the rest of it, all the other ways we live in Christ. I'm so glad you love us so much, and I'm so glad that you give us the opportunity to learn more about you, to know you, and to make you known. I'm so glad that we get the chance to talk to you and be talked to by you and worship you and bring other people before you for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done. Lord, would you protect us all? Would you cause us to surrender every part of our lives to you? Would you cause us, help us to love you with all of our hearts and mind and soul and strength? Lord, if there are people here in this congregation, this fellowship, maybe those that can't be here who really need to be shown a massive amount of your love or power or glory, would you just do that? You are worthy of all of our praise. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen.